Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, there's going to be a press conference at 4 o'clock. We'll take it live for you, of course, with new details coming in, we hope. This guy's apparently a real kook. I mean, he was pledging all the support for Ukraine, was going to fight in the war, seemed to be all smiles when he was arrested, when he was apprehended by authorities. There's still some discrepancy over whether or not he actually got a shot off. It doesn't appear that if he did, but his phone was near Trump's golf course for 12 hours. And how did he know what he was going to be? This seemed to be a last minute impromptu round of golf by the former president. How did he know he was going to be there? These are all the questions that we have. And how is it even remotely possible that after the first assassination attempt on the president, you could allow a guy to be able to poke a rifle through a tree line? Because that's what happened. The United States Secret Service agent saw a rifle poking out of a tree line. And that's the only reason they were able to stop this guy. I mean, thank God the agent saw that. But how the hell was the guy able to get this close? How is he able to get this close? And I mean, when you see the video, it's heavily protected with trees. But that's the problem, is that Trump does still not have the presidential level security that he deserves. Look, I'm sorry, but he's a former president of the United States of America. He's likely the future president of the United States of America. And there's already been one almost successful attempt on his life. And you still don't secure the outer perimeter like you would the president? I mean, come on. Give me a break already. What year is this? What year is this? There should be an outer perimeter secured for the former president. Absolutely, 100%. But there's so many questions surrounding this thing. And we have, you're welcome to entertain pretty much any conspiracy theory you want at this point, because this should not have happened. There's no way. I mean, the first one shouldn't have happened. This guy's on a roof with a long gun, climbs on a roof with a long gun in front of all these people, and now this guy gets within 500 yards of the former president, almost gets a shot off on him. I mean, come on. By the way, there's some new polling data out. Kamala Harris not getting the debate bump that you would have thought she would get if you listened to the corporate media tell you how wonderful she did and how she won that debate. And that's why I told you last week she didn't win the debate. And it's because she didn't sway undecided voters. And now the polling's coming out and it's showing that. The debate did not give her a bump, period. And she didn't close the deal. And now her campaign team is practically begging for another debate. One of her campaign spokespeople out there going on about how Trump needs to do another debate. She didn't close the deal. It was all feel-good, sugary pop. She didn't close the deal. And by the way, people have already forgotten about eating dogs and cats. And this will certainly keep them, this will certainly change their minds if they were thinking about dogs and cats being the most important issue as now another attempt on the president's life, the former president's life. But I have a flashback for you of 2.5 minutes of Democrats calling for the use of political violence. You know, look, I'm not a guy that blames rhetoric, except that we are living in a time right now where I'm being told that both sides need to tone it down. And both sides don't need to turn it down, because it's one side that keeps doing this. It's one side that keeps saying Trump is Hitler. It's one side that keeps saying he's going to end democracy. He's a threat. He has to be taken out. One side. Trump may say, I hate Taylor Swift. And you could either like that or hate that, or you could say, well, doesn't every guy? But, you know, you can debate whether or not it helps his campaign to be posting that on Truth Social or not. But that's different than saying he's the embodiment of Adolf Hitler and is going to take over the world and destroy democracy and kill millions of people. There's a big difference with that. And that's why, just like I said after the first assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life, I'm sorry, but it's not both sides that need to tone down the rhetoric. It's one side. It's the left. The left keeps entertaining in this stuff. And it's one thing to just have very passionate, heated rhetoric. It's another thing when you might have a nutbag who thinks he's doing the right thing by taking out Hitler. You know, doing the right thing to save the world from a would-be dictator who's going to destroy civilization. And there was this Stephen King movie many, many years ago. There's a book, too. You probably know it. And the whole book was essentially about this guy who's got... Christopher Walken plays the character. He's got this ability to see visions. And then Martin Sheen played the presidential candidate. I'm pretty sure it was Martin Sheen. And he saw that the guy was going to start World War III, nuclear war. And so Christopher Walken tries to take him out. Anyway, that's the thing. If you are told over and over again that this guy is the end of civilization, the end of humanity, you may feel it's your duty to take the guy out, that you have to, that you're doing the right thing. If you're an unhinged, unstable person, you may believe that. And that's the problem right now, is that it's not just a matter of rhetoric. It's not just a matter of mail pieces with a bullet target crosshair. We've come so far from that. I remember when the left was freaking out about that with Sarah Palin years ago. We've gone a long way from that to now we're giving people this idea that you might be taking out the next Führer. And that's just not healthy. It's just not. And Democrats don't learn their lessons from that. So there's a lot of stuff here that we have. And I'm going to play you. There's a whole bunch of things. But here's the suspect who was on Newsweek Romania back in June of 2022. And he's going on about Ukraine. And this is why world leaders are not sending military to Ukraine is beyond me. Obviously, this guy's motivations here unclear. We don't know. But probably has something to do with the fact that Trump does not want to support this never-ending war in Ukraine. Maybe he thinks that he's heard the media going on and on about how Trump is Putin's puppet, and this guy feels so strongly about Ukraine. Maybe he thinks he's doing the right thing to save Ukraine from Russia and then ultimately Vladimir Putin dominating Europe. Who knows? I mean, there all the people that at one point tried to take out Adolf Hitler, and there were a lot of them, are all seen through the eyes of history as heroes for trying to stop Adolf Hitler. This guy may think he's one of those people. This is the problem with using rhetoric that elevates Donald Trump to the point of being this symbol of pure evil. Cut number one.
I've been dealing with Russia for my entire life. You know, we had one period where it was okay, but now we've let it slip back into terrorism. So it's just the world needs to respond. You know, why world leaders are not sending military is beyond me. We're going to have to elect new leaders the next go around that have a backbone and that, you know, have the fortitude to say, hey, we're not going to tolerate this type of behavior.
Here's another clip for you of a flashback of this guy saying he wants to bring Afghan fighters to Ukraine. This was an interview he did in 2023 with Semaphore, discussing recruiting Afghan fighters. Cut two.
Officials in Kyiv simply aren't interested in recruiting them.
Ukraine is reluctant to be cooperative.
That's Ryan Ruth, a U.S. citizen who set up the International Volunteer Center in Ukraine to help connect foreigners to Ukrainian military units.
Now I'm talking to over 100 soldiers every day, and pretty much all of my contacts in Ukraine, oh, they were adamant and pretty much yelled at me every time that I suggested that we bring in Afghans.
The Ukrainian government didn't respond to our request for comment, but a source close to the officials in Kyiv told Semaphore that their top concern is the question of loyalty in the thick fog of war.
The biggest thing is spies. They're afraid that anybody and everybody is a Russian spy.
Those concerns aren't completely unfounded.
How does this guy, who's just a seemingly ordinary citizen, get to do all these interviews too? You know what I mean? How does this guy get to do all these interviews? So there's questions around that. There's also questions regarding how he got to Palm Beach, how he was able to be there for so long. And then again, also, too, the whole thing with the rifle poking through the tree line. So there's all that. The Dead Zone. Stephen King. I had a moment where I couldn't remember the name of the movie. The Dead Zone. Christopher Walken. It's a book, too. But the movie's damn good. I haven't seen it in a long time. But he thinks he's taking out a guy who's going to destroy the world. You know what I mean? So because he has these visions and everything. But so if you are constantly saying that about Trump, you may motivate a guy like this. But I have a lot of questions. He was also in a propaganda commercial. Now, apparently it's not a BlackRock propaganda commercial, but he was in a propaganda commercial. And then the other question, too, I have is how come Trump still doesn't have that presidential level of security around him? Like that, if I'm the new Secret Service director, the first thing I'm doing when I get in there is I'm going to recognize two things. Number one, we almost lost a presidential protectee. That's number one. And number two, it's now on me to make sure that doesn't happen again. So what was the big problem with Butler was the perimeter. So it seems to me the first obvious thing you do is deal with the perimeter. You deal with the perimeter of wherever the president's going to be, the former and future president. You deal with that. That's not being done. That's not being done. And Joe Biden, who, and you heard the clip today going on about how there's no place in our politics for political violence. Well, yeah, we all know that. But you could right now call up the Secretary of the Treasury and say, hey, listen, I want this guy to get the full, complete presidential protection package. And we're not going to just treat him like he's just a regular candidate here. You know, he's a former president. That's number one. But he's also running for president. Combined, and then he's had this is now two assassination attempts on his life. So you put those things together and say he needs the full level of protection. Protect him like you protect me, basically. Protect him like he's the president. Why doesn't Joe Biden do that? He could do that very, very quickly. We're going to hear more from the Martin County Sheriff and law enforcement officers at 4 o'clock when we have that press conference. But here's a clip of the Martin County, Florida Sheriff, Will Snyder, during his press briefing. He's got a lot of things that he's saying. He's raising a lot of questions. Here's some of the questions he's raising. Cut number 8.
Hang on 1 second. I'm having a PC issue.
Uh-oh, PC issue. All right, let me know when we don't have PC issues anymore. Hopefully today's not a day for PC issues because we got a lot of things. We got a lot of audio. We got like 57 different, you know. Let's see here. Now, the other point, too, regarding this whole thing is this guy, this would-be shooter, and his thoughts on Ukraine. There are a lot of people who have thoughts of you on Ukraine. How does he get these interviews? How does he get all these outspoken interviews? What's his connection, what I want to know, to the military-industrial complex? Don't you think? I mean, don't you? It's just because everybody's got an opinion, but you don't just have the normal person hanging a Ukraine flag in their house getting opinions. You're getting interviews with Newsweek, Europe, and with Semaphore and all these other places, Newsweek Romania. How does this guy get all these interviews? I mean, that's the first obvious thing to me. Interviews are kind of hard to come by. All right, here's the sheriff, cut number 8. Got it?
Have any, to your knowledge, any ties to Martin County or the Treasure Coast?
Yeah, to my knowledge, does he have any ties to Martin County? I think the answer, to my knowledge, the answer is no, I have no knowledge. I think what we're finding out, he's not from this area, which of course raises the bigger question is, how does a guy from not here get all the way to Trump International, realize that the president, former president of the United States, is golfing, and is able to get a rifle in that vicinity? I think that's the question the FBI, the Secret Service are laser focused on today. Is this guy part of a conspiracy? Is he a lone gunman? If he's a lone gunman, President Trump is that much safer because we have him. But if he's part of a conspiracy, then this whole thing really takes on a very ominous tone.
And then this guy has a book, and his book urged Iran to kill Trump. We know that Iran wants to kill Trump. Is there a correlation there? I don't know. But I got a lot of questions. President Biden appointed this guy to serve on the Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. How many lone gunman nuts get appointed by the President of the United States to serve on a presidential council? You know what I mean? How often does that happen? So that's another question that I have right there. How does that guy get that appointment? He's doing all these interviews. He's in his book. He's urging Iran to take out Trump. There's a lot here that and twice in a row now, you know, twice in a row, we've had these assassination attempts that just seem like they just it's not possible unless somebody helped. Now, again, I can't say that he had help on the inside. I can't say he didn't because there's still all these questions. We don't even have the answers from the first presidential investigation. Think about an assassination. Think about that. We still don't have all the answers, but we know that last week, one of the senators from Connecticut came out and said, Richard Blumenthal came out and said, when all the details come out, oh man, you are going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked and you're going to be appalled and you're going to be terrified when all the real information comes out about the first assassination attempt on Trump's life. That was on Friday. Seems like a million years ago. Seems like a million years ago. This guy was also a big donor to the Democrat Party. So how does all this happen? And then he's in another propaganda commercial, which maybe not was for BlackRock, but it's still, you know, another thing. It just, all of this seems to be very strange. And I think the sheriff's right when he says, you know, is this bigger here? Is this bigger? And look, Trump golfs a lot, but to know when he's golfing and to know where he's going to be. When he could have been on the campaign trail, or he could have been inside having a cheeseburger. See what I mean? Like, I've been to a couple of Trump's golf courses over the years. He doesn't just golf all day. He does lots of different things. He's in meetings. He's going to get ice cream. He loves ice cream. So he goes, like Trump Bedminster, he goes, walks down by the pool area. There's a soft serve ice cream area. He loves to go over there. To know he's going to be on the golf course at that time, at that moment. Or did the guy just camp out there all day? And what, again, no drones flying overhead? Nothing to spot him? No heat-seeking body thermal cameras? And to know if there's a guy in the woods? I mean, if you've ever driven by Trump Bedminster, for example, you realize it's a very secure facility from that perspective. It would be really an act of God to be able to get through the tree-lined perimeter, be able to set up and get close enough to the president of the United States of America, because you would assume that there'd be some way for them to know, hey, maybe an individual or other individuals might be trying to come through the tree line. Last time I checked, we had been attacked on 9/11 23 years ago. All right, so this guy's a lone gunman, allegedly. But what about if it was an attempt by, I don't know, a bunch of like Al-Qaeda guys, and there were like 12 of them coming through the tree line? Like, wouldn't you want to make sure that can't happen, or 12 Iranians, since the Iranians want them dead, by having some sort of a way to know if there's human beings hiding in trees outside the golf course? Of course you would. That's just common sense. That's basic. And, you know, it's funny when you go there and the president's there at the same time, which I've been at Bedminster when he was there as president at the same time. And you think to yourself, OK, well, there's no way anybody could ever just park their car on the side of the road and get out and go through the trees. But that's literally what just happened in Palm Beach. That's literally what just happened. So come on. You know what I mean? Here's a little bit more of the sheriff, who, by the way, is a Democrat. Democrat Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, who was saying why President Trump did not have the security, and this is just unacceptable here, in my opinion, cut number 9.
Well, you got to understand, the golf course is surrounded by shrubbery, so when somebody gets into the shrubbery, they're pretty much out of sight, all right? And at this level that he is at right now, he's not the city president. If he was, we would have had this entire golf course around it. But because he's not, the security is limited to the areas that the Secret Service deems possible. So I would imagine that the next time he comes at a golf course, there'll probably be a little bit more people around the perimeter. But the Secret Service did exactly what they should have done. They provided exactly what the protection should have been, and their agent did a fantastic job.
Yeah, look, the Secret Service did an outstanding job in this case. They really did. They did an outstanding job. But still, at the same time, why are we acting like it's the year 1963 and we don't have the ability to know if there's a dude hiding in the shrubbery waiting to kill the former and future president of the United States of America? You know what I mean? Like, again, I have a drone. My son has a drone. Just go buy a freaking drone at Best Buy already. It's not that complicated. Thermal imaging detectors to know if there's a guy in the woods. How, like, all these things should be used when we know that this guy is a target. I just think that the bigger question, though, is how did he know Trump was going to be out there at that point? I mean, it was a weekend. He could have been on the campaign trail. He could have been in Western PA. He could have been campaigning out in Pittsburgh or down in North Carolina or Arizona or wherever. How do you know he's going to be there? How do you know he's going to be on the golf course and not inside having a cheeseburger or doing an interview with somebody? How do you know all these things? How long was he out there? These are a lot of the questions that I have. And then, of course, now we have to figure out as well what this guy's motivations were, because apparently he wrote this book urging Iran to kill Trump. But if he was in the golf course tree line for 12 hours, which is what some people are suggesting, and again, hopefully we'll have some confirmation on that at 4 o'clock today. How in the hell does that happen? And then what are you going to do about that going forward, knowing that the guy likes to golf, but he's not the only president who golfs? So how do you make sure there aren't people hiding in the trees? Because if it turns out it's a lone gunman, okay. What, the next time, what if it's not? You know, some, I don't know, paramilitary group or something. You think to yourself, this is unrealistic. But in this day and age, honestly, is anything unrealistic? Really, anything? No, and the answer to that is no, nothing. And so what you do is you make sure that you have, you learn from what they said in the 9/11 report, which was it was a failure of imagination. Don't allow a failure of imagination. Imagine things, imagine the worst things, and then prepare for those things.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, 855-839-1210. The big story of the day, which is obviously this, which is brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. New polling out showing Kamala Harris did not get the bump from the debate that you would think that she would have if you believe the corporate media. And a New Jersey congresswoman blaming Trump for the assassination attempt. I kid you not. All that straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we're learning a lot of details. There'll be a press conference at 4 o'clock. We'll take it for you live. Glad you're here on a Monday. Trump assassination attempt suspect wrote a book urging Iran to kill the former president. In Ukraine's Unwinnable War, which is the name of his nutty manifesto, his self-published memoir, he said he made a terrible mistake in once voting for Trump, whom he described as a buffoon. Quote, I must take part of the blame for the, I can't say the R word on radio, but the R word for, you know, child we elected for our next president that ended up being brainless. But I am man enough to say that I misjudged and made a terrible mistake. And Iran, I apologize, he said. This was after the former president abandoned the nuclear deal with Tehran. The e-book is actually, as of right now, still available on Amazon for $2.99. You are free to assassinate Trump, as well as me, for that error in judgment and the dismantling of the deal, the nuclear deal. It offers a look inside the mind of a man committed to finding peace in the world, but with a naive understanding of geopolitics. This is from the Daily Mail. His solutions to long-running global conflicts include building a wall around the Afghan capital, Kabul, and allowing himself to be kidnapped by the North Korean regime. Authorities say he was armed with an AK-47-style rifle as he stalked the Republican presidential nominee at his West Palm Beach golf course, where we're finding out he may have been in the brush for as long as 12 hours. He has a prodigious online footprint and was interviewed by multiple news organizations as he tried to recruit foreign fighters from Afghanistan to join the war against Russia in Ukraine. In the event, most of his work in the war-torn country amounted to putting up flags and joining protests. His book sets out his views on the war in rambling prose, describing how he landed in Poland before making his way to the border with Ukraine. He put up his tent in Kyiv's Independence Square to act as a volunteer coordinator, but one day returned to find the police had torn it down. It includes a photograph of him with Chef Jose Andres, founder of World Central Kitchen, who delivered thousands of meals to people affected by the war. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of the pictures of him by now. The book sets out some of his own political philosophy. Just hang on, pull something up here. I get so tired of people asking me if I'm a Democrat or a Republican as I refuse to be put in a category, and I must always answer independent. And I think that most intelligence people, every situation case by case, judge every situation case by case, and vote solely on the merit of a candidate and not about parties or groups. All right, now the question I have is that a Freudian slip? Is that a Freudian slip? He wrote, I get so tired of people asking me if I'm a Democrat or a Republican as I refuse to be put in a category and I must always answer independent. And I think that most intelligence people judge every situation, not intelligent people, unless this is a typo by the Daily Mail. So is this a Freudian slip? Was he part of intelligence? I'm just saying, didn't Lee Harvey Oswald have travels overseas too? Right? And this guy's going overseas to Ukraine. This guy's doing all these interviews. I don't know. Just saying. Something stinks about this. Something stinks. Here's another question, too. And this is from a former FBI official who said he may have had inside information on the whereabouts of the former president. I saw some person on Fox News earlier today was saying, well, it's easy to track the movements of celebrities and other people like this. No, it's not inside a golf course, inside a secluded members-only golf course where Donald Trump plays golf. I mean, the reason why people join private golf courses, clubs in general, is to have a level of privacy so that, especially famous people, they don't have to worry about, you know, people knowing all their business. If you join just everyday run-of-the-mill private golf courses, it's the opposite. It's a freaking rumor mill, but I'm sure those private ones are too, the fancy ones. But you try to get away from the paparazzi and you try to get away from all the busybodies. And so, no, it's not like somebody can just track their movements. Nobody's like tweeting out. And if somebody did, like, oh, look, Trump's on the fifth hole. If somebody was doing stuff like that, well, they would get in trouble. They would, but that's also frowned upon at those clubs for a reason. You know what I mean? But still, that doesn't explain it. It is one thing to track a plane that's flying, and there are people that do that. They do that all the time. It's like, oh, you know, there's Taylor Swift's private jet and Elon Musk's jet and things like that. But when he's inside his members-only club, he's golfing. The only people that would know exactly where he is, even the members wouldn't necessarily know unless you're out on the golf course with him, because he goes ahead of everybody. So that's the thing. I'm not a golfer, so I can't say I've ever golfed with him. But people that I know who have, he always goes ahead. Obviously, it's his place, right? It's his club. It's not going to wait for anybody else. So even before he was president, he still goes ahead of everybody. So unless you're out there on the course and he just, you know, went by you on the seventh hole, you're not going to know exactly where he is either. That's a very, very important point here. And then within the club, you don't necessarily know where he is either. You don't, because he could be in his house. He could be, like I said, getting ice cream. He could be in the restaurant. He could be on the golf course. You don't know exactly where he is, but some people do. And the people that do are the people who are in charge of protecting him. They would know exactly where he is at all times. They would. Nobody else would. I mean, if you're hanging out by the pool, you don't know where he is. If you're golfing, unless he just went right by you, or you might hear somebody else say, oh, yeah, I just saw Trump on the 13th hole or something like that. But let's assume that then. How are you going to relay that information to a would-be assassin in that moment? You're not. You're a member of Trump National or Trump Palm Beach or whatever. You're not going to. But somebody who's in charge of ensuring his safety knows where he is at all times. They know exactly where he is at all times. See what I mean? This is why this stinks to me to high heaven. If you've been at a golf course, if you've ever played golf in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of how big and wide open it is and everything like this. So you don't know exactly where people are at all times. But it's even more so when you're dealing with Trump, because he moves much faster on the golf course than other people do, because he's always cutting ahead of people. Now, yeah, he's got an entourage around him, and he also has people who are around him. But how does that information then get conveyed to the would-be shooter? That's the question. So is a guy just sitting there for 12 hours aiming a rifle, hoping? that Trump's just going to get on the golf course and then hoping that no one's going to see him and then just hoping that he'll be able to get a shot off? Just biding his time until Trump at some point comes to that particular hole and plays golf? What if it wasn't going to happen? What if Trump decided to get on a plane that morning and fly to a campaign event? Or go someplace else? Or not golf at all for the day? Because, you know, I mean, like, there's too many questions around this that just make me say, yeah, I'm not buying this. They write, Trump's golf schedule is not made public in advance, although the game is a regular pastime for the former president. If you're thinking outside the four corners here, there could be somebody at that club at Mar-a-Lago or at the golf club that just doesn't like him and has different political views. And, you know, they could have fed this information, said former FBI assistant director Chris Swecker. I don't believe that. You know why? It's too freaking expensive to be a member there if you hate Trump to the point where you want to kill him. And if it was the fact that you were paying the dues, they're a couple $100,000 a year to be a member. So if you're paying that kind of money, hoping that you could one day get information to a would-be assassin to kill him, then that is a gigantic waste of money. And I also feel like somebody's going to figure that out before that chance is ever given to you. Like if every year you're writing a check for $200,000 or whatever it is to be a member at Trump's golf club, hoping that someday some guy's going to show up in the woods with an AK-47 and you'll be able to relay to him the president's movements on the golf course, I feel like there's better ways to spend your money. And I think that somebody would have probably figured out that you were a bad person by that point, and you probably would have been thrown out of there by then. And you probably would have done other things, like complain about all the meat people are eating or something like that. I don't believe that it's some disgruntled member of Mar-a-Lago or his golf club or, yeah, no, you know, stop. I mean, I spoke at the Union League years ago. We had a huge crowd. Just if I can brag about crowd size for a second, it was the highest event, highest number of people they ever had at the Union League for an event besides Governor Ron DeSantis. But there were several people that gave me the finger. Several of them wound up, from what I understand, being kicked out from the Union League. My point is, it's expensive to be a Union League member. It's not nearly as expensive as it is to be a member of Trump's golf courses. So the whole point about being there because you're disgruntled, hoping one day to be able to kill him or facilitate an assassination attempt is just such a stupid, ludicrous idea. However, other people who would know his movements with much more accuracy and detail don't have to pay to be members there. This former FBI guy says, I mean, there's only a couple of possibilities here. One is that the guy had inside information and having enough time to get to that fifth hole, that location between the fifth and sixth hole, and get himself set up. So if somebody tipped them off at the time Trump went off the first tee, it would have been about an hour, 15, 20 minutes before he got to that spot. That would have provided plenty of time. The other possibility is that he's been surveilling the former president, either watching Mar-a-Lago as to when he leaves or actually physically following him in his vehicle and determining exactly where he went. Well, look, that's not hard to do. Knowing where a motorcade's going, that's easy. And people know that, and people, they do that stuff. That's not that hard. But that's different than knowing when he's going to be on the fifth hole. Like seeing when the golf, like the motorcade leaves Mar-a-Lago to go to the golf course, and then being able to time that to get into the bushes to hide and then know when he's going to be on the fifth. Stop. You know what I mean? Stop. The idea that this was just general information and he's just really good at figuring all this out. No, I don't believe that. So if he was there in the woods for 12 hours just waiting this out with a long gun, just waiting to possibly take a shot and nobody notice this. And this guy goes to Ukraine, and this guy's going on all these TV interviews, and this guy's in a propaganda commercial, and this guy's giving money to the Democrats, and I don't know. I get a lot of questions here. Here is Democrat Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, North Jersey Congresswoman, who blames Trump, the rhetoric, and assault rifles for the second assassination attempt on Trump, cut number 10.
This is the second assassination attempt, so I think we need to put more resources towards this. But I think we also have to address some underlying issues that are going on here as well. This really seems to be the confluence of two very bad very bad things going on in the Republican Party. On one side, the attempts to divide, to enrage the population, to put out false rumors and misinformation. We know the mayor in Springfield is begging the Republican Party to stop with the false information on immigrants. They have portions of the town on lockdown at this point, and an increase in all of the partisanship and the fear-mongering that's going on. And then on the other side, we have this complete availability of assault rifles to, it seems, almost anyone who wants to have access.
You know, let's talk about the rhetoric, Congresswoman, for a moment here. Trump put out a number of statements from Democrat members of Congress. These are just some of the things that they've said about him over the years. Representative Steve Cohen, Trump is an enemy of the United States. Maxine Waters, are Trump supporters preparing a civil war against us? I want to know about all those right-wing organizations that Trump is connected with who are training up in the hills somewhere. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Trump is an existential threat to our democracy. Adam Schiff, Trump is the gravest threat to our democracy. Representative Gregory Meeks, Trump cannot be president again. He's an existential threat to democracy. Representative Dan Goldman, Trump remains the greatest threat to our democracy. Representative Jake Auchincloss, what unifies us as a party is knowing that Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. Representative Abigail Spangberger, Trump is a threat to our democracy. The threats to our Democratic Republic are real. Representative Annie Custer, Trump and his extreme right-wing followers pose an existential threat to our democracy. Representative, these are elected members of Congress. You know, these are not just random people saying these things. These are elected members of Congress. And again, what is the theme here? That Trump is a threat to democracy. Representative Stacey Plaskett, Trump needs to be shot. Representative Gabe Vasquez, remove the national threat from office. Representative Mike Levin, Donald Trump is a threat to our nation, our freedom, and our democracy. Representative Jason Crow, Trump is an extreme danger to our democracy. Extreme? Is there any other kind? Representative Eric Sorensen, he is the greatest threat to law and order we have in our country. And it goes on and on. Rick Wilson, the Lincoln Project, they're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. But the problem is that, and this is bigger than just rhetoric. See, I actually never blamed rhetoric for the Steve Scalise shooting. I didn't. I blamed a whack job nutbag. The difference, though, in this one is that I think there is a part of people that believes, and this is the philosophical question I've always said before. It's that great philosophical discussion you have in philosophy class. If you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you do it? Which, as I told you, was a joke at the end of Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2 is a hysterical movie, and there's a scene where they actually deleted it out of the movie, but he's over baby Hitler's crib trying to figure out if he should kill baby Hitler or not. It's a philosophical quandary for a lot of different reasons, because technically at that moment it's an innocent baby, and so you debate this stuff. But that's the thing. I mean, Valkyrie is considered a hero because he tried to kill Adolf Hitler. The difference with political rhetoric, which I've never ascribed to political violence before, is that, yeah, people say things that are heated, and only crazy people think that there's reason to actually use violence. But there's a certain part of people that may think, I'm doing the good work of the world here by saving the world from Hitler. Because most of us would say that if you had a chance to jump in a time machine and kill Hitler, you'd do it. You would take that chance. I sure as hell would. Although then you get into the quandary about the time space, you know, does it mess things up, and, you know, do you alter history and what happens? And I get all that, and that's, you know, for another show. But the point being that if in 1941 you had a chance to take him out, you would have taken him out. For a lot of these people, they have heard over and over again that this is Hitler. This is the modern day Hitler who's going to destroy democracy. This is the difference between just over the top political rhetoric, which I've never, ever had a problem with, ever. All the years you've been listening to me, you know that I've always said, blame the shooter, don't blame the gun, don't blame the rhetoric, don't blame movies, don't blame video games, and don't blame music. But the difference is that there are people out there who have heard this so much about this guy being a threat to democracy, and that he's going to put people in camps, and that he's going to start World War III, and that, that millions of lives are in danger and destroy democracy, that they may think, this is what I need to do. This is the right thing to do here. Joe Biden, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Trump is a threat to this nation. Joe Biden, there is one existential threat. It's Donald Trump. Joe Biden, Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for. Joe Biden, Trump and MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very soul of our country. All right, let me take a quick break here so that we can make sure we can take this live. We'll come right back. Don't go away. We got a lot to get to, and there's going to be a press conference a little bit after 4 o'clock, so don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so in a couple of minutes, we're going to have an update on the assassination attempt. By the way, I was making a joke before about Joe Biden should call the Secretary of the Treasury and have them give Secret Service protection to Trump, because this Treasury Department hasn't, the Secret Service hasn't been part of Treasury since 2003. But I don't know if Joe Biden knows that, because he probably thinks it's, well, he probably thinks Kennedy was just assassinated. So, you know, anyway, my sick sense of humor. Speaking of sick sense of humor, I hope you caught me on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon Saturday night. We had a lot of fun. It was a great time hanging with my man Johnny Damon, wore his Super Bowl ring. Just kidding. I know it's baseball, but we had a lot of fun. So if you missed it, hopefully I can post a link to the replay at some point. What we're going to do is we're going to jump out a little bit early because we have this press conference coming up, and we have to really stay on track here with time because we got the Phillies game tonight at 7:05 on the station. So I don't have a lot of time to be able to go on. And you know me, I can't keep track of time, so I'm do that. But they're going to apparently do this right at 4 o'clock. A lot of questions, not a lot of answers coming out and all this. And yeah, I have a whole montage of Democrats saying the same thing about Trump being a threat to democracy and all the times they call him Hitler and everything else. And I want to make a point. The distinction is there's a difference between heated political rhetoric. I have no problem with heated political rhetoric. The difference is that Democrats keep saying he's a threat to democracy and he's Hitler. And there's some people that may think that they're actually doing the right thing, the moral imperative to stop a person like that. Like, you know, if you could have taken out Pol Pot, you know, or Idi Amin, you know what I mean? All right, we got a lot more to come. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.